I need a lady's opinion, 'cause I'm not a lady like a lady is.
Do you want to start this one?
Sure. Let's talk about sex, baby.
Let's talk about you and me. And
I already started writing the description for this one, and literally the title is Let's Talk About Sex.
I just didn't know what else you would have done. Yeah.
There's no other option.
Guys, welcome back. We're in the house tonight with
Ray
and Cheryl.
And we are pretty excited. We've got a special guest in the house, an old friend of mine.
You just really made her sound really old.
Yeah.
Really,
I mean, old. Let's clarify. None she's of us have not 40.
I'm getting there.
Colette.
Hello.
Yeah. Okay, so Colette, tell us about who you are.
Cool. My name's Colette Charles. I am a mental health therapist. I've worked with adolescents for the past 2 years, and I recently just switched to private practice, which has been awesome. I'm a social worker. I'm a clinical social worker, and I'm working on my ASECT certification to become a sex therapist.
Woohoo!
So woo. Cool. All of those things are someone we need in the room.
Yay! Yeah, it's like, we should have you on like every episode from here on out.
That would be good.
We need a professional.
This podcast is not your podcast.
So you can correct us.
We're just bequeathing you all of this stuff.
Excellent.
And we'll slowly just walk out of the room.
Excellent. And now yes. It's your podcast.
Wow, that's a lot of responsibility, guys.
She supplies all the knowledge, and we're just here to drink wine and riff.
And eat cheese.
Perfect.
And
we're like, cheese. You don't know what you're tagging about.
I've got a vagina. That doesn't do that.
You're right. Everyone's vagina is different.
It's like a unique flower.
Exactly.
Yeah. So we're excited that you're here. And we had been asking a bunch of questions. We got a bunch of questions maybe specifically for you.
Cool. I put out a note on Instagram and Twitter for questions. And we got quite a few in from listeners. So really excited to dig into those. Speaking of vaginas being like flowers, we actually had someone write into our anonymous form.
Right.
Which with the best message of all time. So this listener wrote, I just wanted to say thank you. I have been complimented on my cooch for years and always just thought that was weird because I assumed they all looked the same. But that video you posted on Facebook was amazing, and it was so cool to see all the different kinds of labia. I never realized it, but I knew there were a lot of different kinds of dick, but never thought about the other half. Thank you from one woman to another.
That was pretty cool.
Awesome. So what she's referring to there is Melissa posted a video that was basically—
on our Facebook, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I just watched it the other day.
Yeah, it's so good.
Well, I more recently have been watching porn, and I was like, what? I was like, what's happening here? And I was like, oh, none of these comments are like, that's weird. So I was like, oh, vaginas vary. And then when I watched that video, I was like, oh, wow, they really do.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's so crazy.
So anyway, it's a video on our Facebook page that Melissa posted from The Guardian called The Vagina Dispatches. And it's basically just looking at, they talk to different gynecologists and different doctors who work with women's private parts and talk to them about, you know, what's, quote, normal, and basically nothing's really normal. So anyway, thank you, listener, for writing in. Glad that was enlightening for
Thanks,
you.
Thanks, Melissa.
Oh, yeah. You're welcome.
I know. I literally, like, I hadn't seen that you posted that, and I read the message and was like, what the fuck is this person talking about? I'm like, Melissa, did you post a vagina video? And she's like, oh, yeah, I did. And I'm like, oh, okay, good.
Classic Melissa.
Yeah.
Posting vagina videos.
Just all over the internet.
I went to watch it at work. And you know how it like intros it? And then it's like, okay, if you don't want to see a labia, you need to turn your shit off now. And I was like, ah, I'll stop. And then I looked at my history and it was like, labia, YouTube.
Oh, no.
Video, and I was like, yes. Jesus Christ.
You're like, and delete.
I know, I was like, delete history.
Oh, God.
That's not shady.
I know. Sorry, work. Please don't look into what I Google.
Before we get started with our questions, you had a cool thing happen to you.
Oh, okay.
Recently. I want you to talk about it because I think it's really
cool. Yeah, so this last week, a friend of mine called, and she's like, oh, my kid's in a play, and he got a lot of shit today at school. And she's like, I know nothing about plays. You know, I've got three little boys that I grew up with brothers. We've only done sports. I don't even know what to tell him, you know. And she's like, so if you could just tell him some, like, really cool things that make it sound cool about being in theater. And I was like, yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. Like, of course, like, I start tearing up at any chance that I can speak about how theater will heal your soul and provide opportunities for you to become a better person. So I was like, yeah, done. And then I was like, okay, I'll get some of my other guy friends to do this. Like, send me like a little video or something. So I posted on Facebook to my guy friends in theater that have ever done it to send me a video. Just a short little thing of them saying how cool theater is and how he should definitely do it and not care what these little kids are saying at the school. And then, like, they just kept coming in from Broadway to Hollywood to, like, theater companies inside of Utah to production, film, directors, producers, actors. And they just sent these little clips in. And they're like, Pete, you're going to be awesome. Stick to it. And there was like a doctor. He's like, I haven't done theater since I was in fifth grade. But I don't regret a single moment of it because it has made me a better person. Aww. And all this stuff. And so I compiled the videos together because some of them wanted to see each other. And posted it. And it
kind went of viral. Just,
in a little bit, yeah. Of a sense. So, like, the news came and did a little story about us and interviewed Pete
so
and his mom. And it was, like, the sweetest thing. And
that's so cool.
Totally heartwarming. So, that's, you know,
amazing.
Do theater, no matter how old you are.
Yeah, or what gender you are, doesn't matter.
Yeah,
wait, are you going to tell everyone who you got a phone call from?
Oh, yeah, because Good Morning America called me yesterday.
Girl, you famous.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
I always knew
that's crazy. Incredible. That's pretty incredible.
That's so awesome.
So go watch the video. It's called Follow Your Heart, Pete.
And follow your heart, all you Petes out there, okay? Yeah. All right, well, let's get into these questions. Well, actually, I guess before we get into the questions, I just have kind of a question.
Sure.
So what... You said you're working on a certification so that you can start doing sex therapy.
Right.
What does that training entail exactly?
It's quite a bit. So you have to do 4,000 hours of therapy work to get your clinical license for your social work license. So in addition to that, when you're doing the ASECT license, you have to do like a bunch of classes to learn about the body. And then you have to do some writing. You have to do hours of therapy that's sex therapy related. All that kind of stuff.
If, cool. Like, you need, you know, someone who just, like, wants therapy. What's that called? Like, check the hours off or something.
Just throwing it out there.
Just, like, text me.
Super generous of you. So generous of you.
It's free.
If it wasn't, like, wildly unethical, I would totally be down. There's something to do with, you know, like, not doing therapy with people you already know. Okay. Somehow it's unethical. I don't know.
I have a question.
Sure.
What is sex therapy?
What isn't sex therapy?
Well,
everybody.
What differs it from regular?
Okay,
like,
it's a great question. It's a good question. So, sexuality, sex therapy is a huge range of what it can cover, right? A lot of people think, oh, sex therapy, you want to help couples have better sex. Like, cool, yeah, that's definitely something that you can do in sex therapy. But everyone has sexuality, from children, which I know, children who have sexuality, that's disgusting. Sorry, they do. They don't think about it in terms of adults.
Yeah.
So, like, for example, last night, my son, we were over at a friend's house, and he came up to me and said, hey, this little boy who I'm playing with keeps asking me to show him my penis. So he wants us to show each other our stuff, and I don't want to do it.
How old is he?
He is 6.
Yeah.
Hmm. And that's, like, pretty normal child behavior, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the way that we address that is huge, because we don't want to come in on that kid who was asking my son to see his penis, like, hey, that's gross. Don't do that. You know, keep it to yourself, right? What kind of things are we putting in his brain about his body if we do that? So that's an example of, like, children's sexuality, right?
Right.
So,
like, exploration.
They're learning. They're curious.
Right, exactly. And teaching is huge to teach, like, boundary setting and consent in this situation, which is what I was able to do. It was an awesome moment to tell my son, like, hey, thanks so much for coming to tell me. You don't have to show anybody your penis, right? Always come and tell me. Totally. Here's our secret symbol that we have if you're uncomfortable and you want to talk to an adult, right? And then the other kid's parent could go and talk to him and say, hey, we don't ask people to, you know, I see why you did that. You're just kind of curious, no shame. But in the future, if somebody says no, that means no, right? Mm-hmm. Consent at a young age.
Oh, right. That's so awesome.
Yeah, Ben and I were just kind of like panicked about like, okay, we got to watch how we talk about this because we definitely didn't want to like spread any kind of shame, right?
No way.
Because Sly just figured out he's got a penis and he's just always like flicking it around.
Of course.
And,
does he get bathtub. Like baby boners?
That's a thing. Right now he just like sees it in the tub and he's like, what? And he just like whacks it around. It makes cool noises in the tub. And Maddie's like, oh. And then she goes into whacking around. I was like, girl, no. And I was like stopped myself and I was like, you gotta ask permission. Like,
yes. Well done. You know? Yeah. Well done.
And she's like, he doesn't know. I was like, guess you gotta wait till he's older.
Oh my god.
Don't do that still, but you gotta ask permission. Nope. And I went and looked at Ben and I was like, right? And she's like, yeah, that's good. Okay, we're good. Like,
you handled that so well. You guys did awesome.
You guys did a parenting high five.
We really did.
For real. Like, yeah, nailed like, it.
Okay.
That's
okay.
Awesome. Yeah, because we as adults often put our views of sexuality on kids.
Totally.
So if we see kids like touching each other's junk, we're like, oh, that's gross. Like, they're going to be a sexual deviant. That's disgusting. Right. To kids, it's just body parts. It's not a big deal.
Also, they just found it. And
right.
It was
it's
weird.
Kind of a cool thing, right? Like, everybody who has a penis likes their penis from the very beginning.
Yeah.
So I hear I don't have one, but it's what I know. But everyone has sexuality from little kids to, you know, 90-year-olds, right? So sex therapy.
That's the gross part, the 90 part.
Old people sex.
Everything's so
old
wrinkly.
People sex. Let's all just think a minute about somebody who we know who's old, who's naked, and just touching someone else.
Speaking of old people sex, when my grandma passed away, we were going through all of her photos and everything. Yes. And we, good grief, we found like pictures of her as the oldest, taking pictures of the men she was dating.
Oh, yes.
Their penises?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
And then she kept them.
I think the first time I saw that picture was like 17. And I was like, her, you know?
Well, but they were
older
old
when
then.
I was like 28 when she like passed away. And I was like, her.
But the dudes amazing. In the pictures are not old, right?
No, they were.
Oh, they were old
Yeah,
penises.
They were oldest men. The oldest.
So it wasn't like when she was young, it was her current sex life.
No, that would have been
life.
Like awesome. Ew. This was not great. This is why I need colitis.
I think we should all examine why we're so uncomfortable with old penises.
It's mostly their old balls that I'm freaked out by.
What?
Like,
let's
they
think
hang
about
so
it.
Much lower. It's like, you know, don't they get in the way of everything? Like, they already do.
I think there's some ageism happening in the
absolutely.
Room right
that's
now,
absolutely.
Guys. We need to examine and question our beliefs about sex in the elderly.
Or
the
maybe
older,
just be
older
getting
population.
Old. We're all fearful.
We are all fearful of
it. I don't want to look at those old balls.
It's
that's the reason you're afraid of getting older.
You know what? Maybe you'll always
maybe
be
I'll
with
just
young
take my
people.
Glasses off.
Yeah, that's true.
That's true. Canadian Thunder is pretty young.
Yep.
And then I mean, but he's like almost he's gonna be 30 soon, so you gotta swap out
younger
model.
He's out new Thunder in.
I am all for the older woman with the younger man. Yeah. Let's question those gender norms, right?
Yeah,
absolutely.
For
sure.
Gender bending, always.
So how did you become interested in this field? Or like what kind of drew you to it?
Okay. A huge thing that drew me to it was getting married. And I was LDS at the time that I got married. I'm not anymore. I stepped away from it. But realizing I started thinking like, oh shit, I'm going to have sex. Like I want it to be good. And I'm a rape survivor. So I really was worried that there would be a lot of stuff attached to it and it would be horrible. And I wanted sex to be a good part of my life. So I started doing some investigating. I went over to Barnes & Noble with my fiance, who's now my husband, and I marched up to the counter and asked the guy, where's the sex books? And he was kind of like, oh, okay, they're over there. Like, he didn't even walk over with me. He
there's
was just
the key in the lock that you put them under.
Exactly, right? Like,
and we
here's
all stare at you in that section.
Uh-huh. And you have to wear a mask over there and don't talk to anyone, right? So I went over there and I found the book, I Heart Female Orgasm, which I just love. I always give it as a wedding gift with a bottle of lube.
Because, awesome.
Like, people need to know, right? And I just kind of thought, like, well, my husband, like, is going to likely be getting off every time we have sex. But what about me? Like, I want to feel like I'm enjoying it, too. So I started doing a ton of research. I read a bunch of books, had lots of good conversations with him about, like, what will I like? At the time, our stake president was like, well, you guys shouldn't be doing that. Like, you should wait until after you're married to go and get a sex book.
What?
because it's not going to be good. Like, you're going to be tempting, you know, you guys are going to get into trouble, all that stuff that everyone says to you when you're engaged. And we were just kind of like, well, we already went to that corner of the store. We've already had all these discussions and we want to be prepared. So, like, thanks for your advice, but we're not taking it.
Good. Yeah, you should have those conversations mm-hmm. before also, you get married.
Don't make eye contact with him. It's no. dangerous.
Don't do right? You'll,
with who?
I'm just kidding.
With your husband, with your fiance. Oh. Don't be alone. Don't look at each other.
In case you're tempted.
Exactly.
But I hate that. I hate that mentality that's like, you can't even talk about it before you're married. It's like, how do you know if you're mm-hmm. going to be sexually compatible with that person? If
absolutely.
You have the same ideas about sex and how it should work. Right.
Absolutely.
Like,
and
it's
they
so
give
important.
You, everybody left and right is giving you like 100 questions to ask each other
oh, yeah.
like before you get married, like, you know, financially or
child
you know,
rearing and
right.
all
how
that
many
kind
kids,
of stuff.
Where do yeah. you want to live, exactly. what's your goals and everything.
But
and
sex,
that
no.
has
no sex
to be part of the conversation.
It should definitely be part of the conversation.
What are you yeah. allowed to do before?
Nothing.
You can hold hands. You can like kiss.
Hands to body.
I don't think you're supposed to touch each other over the clothes. No outer course.
Yeah, anything that's like gonna.
I
want
to do some outer course before I get married.
Yeah, I mean, I would be surprised. I would be surprised how many people didn't do outer course.
Oh, everyone does outer
yeah,
course.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Come
but
on.
I think
everyone's
the general,
doing it. No one's
get
talking about it.
The general
outer
spoken
course.
Rule uh-huh. is not to do anything yeah. that might lead to. The next
the
step.
Intercourse.
Right. right. You're not supposed to become aroused at all. Just, which is really problematic too, right? Because you can become aroused without like doing anything. You can become aroused just looking.
Right.
So then if you're told your whole life like,
yeah,
don't do anything to become aroused and you're like, well, shit, I get aroused when I see my fiance's butt. Like,
yeah.
I'm bad,
that
right?
That crisp mm-hmm. white
no.
shirt.
And then you feel shame.
Exactly. And then you have, exactly, that shame is attached to your arousal and then how are you supposed to get married and enjoy
and then
sex?
Turn that
yeah.
off.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, you're married now. You don't have to have shame. Well, too late. Like, I've already been programmed to have shame mm-hmm. since I was a tiny kid.
I think that's
so.
Really common in a religious
oh, huge
background.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Gosh, puritanical Christianity.
So
yep. Not just the Mormon church either, yeah. But just anything with the puritanical roots is like, no sex until you're
like
married.
That's like a whole nother level I'm glad I did not have to deal with.
For sure.
And then still not breaking free of that and feeling like you can like talk openly
exactly
like afterwards as well and like
exactly
you know getting through it all of a sudden you're like well okay
it's already
sex,
like
yep you're still not talking about it
exactly
it's so
with
uncomfortable
anybody
for you know well not uncomfortable but like there's definitely a level of nervousness even for a person who has no religious background. I can't even imagine adding like Jesus onto that
mm-hmm. for sure
like a whole like level of Jesus you have to overcome before
yeah.
you can like be comfortable talking
absolutely.
About your body and your wants. Like,
yep.
I have a therapist that I see every week, and I don't talk to her about sex.
Really?
Yeah, isn't that? Like,
that's so interesting.
She's, like, an older woman, and I kind of, like, have this, like, motherly feel
uh-huh.
for her, and I feel weird about bringing, like, that kind of stuff.
Uh-huh.
I don't know, that's, like, a whole yeah. other tangent, but, like.
No, that's interesting yeah. that you say that, because a lot of times on assessments and stuff, like, sexuality isn't on the list of things
yeah.
that you assess for.
Yeah.
But it's like it should. Everyone should be assessed
totally.
In therapy for
such
sexuality.
A huge part of your body,
because
oh,
it's
yeah.
a huge part of
life.
Our identities,
yeah.
right? Whether or not we're sexually active, it's still part of us. So,
yeah,
yeah, mm-hmm. you're absolutely right.
And
yeah.
I'm sure that a lot of people want to talk to their therapist
totally.
About it because it's fucking complicated.
For sure, and absolutely, and especially as women, like we are given such strict boundaries on what we're supposed to be, like a virgin, a whore, a mm-hmm. freak in the sheets, a lady on the streets. Like
yeah.
we have all these weird ideas, and if you don't fall into them or if you're uncomfortable with them, you don't have anyone to talk to about it.
I'm not sure yeah. how I broke out. I don't know how I got so lucky to never have like felt that or. Going into my relationship with who I'm married, like
you were able to
let
go
us,
of the, yeah.
But I don't know. I've always just said what I thought all the time. So the minute we started dating, he was like, "There's a lot here. She saved a lot of words to me." You know? And when he proposed, his mom, who is a social worker and a therapist, handed us like a giant stack. Sex, none of it was in it
mm-hmm.
as well. But that didn't matter because it was also the only thing I wanted to talk about.
Wait, a stack of what?
Yeah. Questions to ask
oh,
your, you
mm-hmm.
know, future husband.
Oh, and there were no sex questions.
No, not besides like how many children you want to have
yeah.
or something.
Which is the number of times you would have sex.
Exactly. Correct.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Love it.
You want but 4 children? Then you have sex 4 times.
4 times for
yeah.
you. That's all you got.
But if there's any issues or any weird like, that, you know, like we're always talking about it immediately.
That's wonderful.
But I have a friend who 10 years later finally admitted that she hated sex because of all the shame that that she walked into the marriage with.
Yeah.
And she didn't realize that. And I don't think her husband realized that or nobody talked about it.
Right.
Yeah.
Nope, we don't talk about it. That reminds me, when I got engaged, my mom gave me a book that her mom gave her when she got engaged. My mom was born in 1964, so that gives you some context. But this book, she's like, here, my mom gave me this. It helps you get ready to have sex and all that stuff, right?
Yeah.
I open the book and I start reading it and I'm just like appalled. It's like, you should have sex with your husband whenever he wants it.
Oh,
don't gain weight because men don't like bigger women. Don't, you know, please him however he wants. I should have brought it. It was, and I went to her immediately and said, Mom, what is this? Why would you give me this? And she's like, it was a good book. I'm like, read it. I'm so sorry. This is awful. I don't know why I thought that, you know, she didn't remember because in her, that was what the culture was for them, which is so terrible. But yeah, the contrast of that and the books that I found when I went looking, it was like, oh, thank God we're moving forward.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Let's get into these questions. Some of these are more serious and then some of them are like more silly ones.
Cool.
Which, you know, so they run the questions run the gamut here at
Love
the podcast. So the first one is, what are the most common hangups that you see?
Hangups about sex?
Mm-hmm.
That's a good question. I would say, like, so far I haven't had that much of a common theme, except for actually with moms. I'm working with quite a few postpartum moms right now, and a lot of things that they say are like, I don't feel like having sex, I'm tired, I'm touched out by my kids all day, my husband and I have no time for intimacy, that kind of stuff is super common.
What does touched out mean? Like literally touched?
Like literally your kids have been like hanging around your neck all day and needing you and you're helping someone do something all day.
Yeah.
And the thought of like putting your kids to bed and then immediately going into your bedroom and having to please somebody else is just too much.
Yeah. You're like, so fucking help me. If someone else touches me today,
exactly.
Yeah. I will murder everyone.
Right? And I empathize so much with that. I don't know about you, and I don't know if you guys are moms, but by the end of the day, sometimes it's just like, I cannot go from a mom to a sex kitten. I need time to change the mindset.
Totally,
you know?
Makes sense.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I see that one a lot. I think probably the most common question that sex therapists are asked is, how often do most people have sex? And is what we're doing normal?
Yeah.
Which, no, there is no normal, right?
No vagina is normal. No sex life is normal.
Exactly. There's no such thing as normal. Whatever makes you happy is what's your...
Well, and also it's like you go through so many phases. Like Alex and I both, you know, there are weeks when neither of us might not be interested.
Right.
And it's hard for the other person, I think, especially myself. I'm a sensitive peach and I'm like, you don't love me? But like, I can totally understand like being a mother and like, you know, if you have young kids or I don't know, if you're having a couple weeks where you don't fucking feel like it like that, like it's just, it's always flowing and changing. And
for sure.
I think it's okay if you go through dry spells.
Yeah. And like talking about it so it's not a taken personally.
Totally.
You know?
Yeah. And communicating that.
And if it's been every day for a week that I'm not like, I can't, then maybe pay attention to the rest of my day every day before that. Like, am I up till 9 cleaning the house?
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you helped me for an hour beforehand, I bet I'd be a little chilled out.
Yeah, exactly.
And we could do something.
Chores turn me on.
Oh, for sure. studies show that partners who share the domestic load have better relationships.
And they're
shocking.
No.
They had to do a study to figure that out,
isn't
guys.
Isn't it insane that then that actually gets turned into the idea that we are holding sex back. We're manipulating you.
We're just
to
fucking
give
busy.
Sex. It's just the truth is, if I feel like I'm not doing it by myself, I will want to take part in a physical relationship with you. And it has nothing to do with me manipulating your behavior
at
all.
Yep. Nope. Nope.
Not.
And nor should husbands or dads or men get a gold star for doing their half.
Right.
Like,
oh,
I hate
thank
that.
You so
did you
much
see
for
what
helping
I did?
Me.
Oh, my. One thing.
Like, sorry, yes, that's your job. Like, I do it too.
That sometimes happens with me and Ian where he's like, did you notice that I vacuumed? And I was like, congratulations. Like, do you want a gold star for cleaning the house that you also live in?
Totally. I never do that. Yeah. I'm like, did you see all the dishes I put in the laundry or in the dishwasher?
Exactly.
I do it all the time.
Do you?
Like, Ben will
look at
come
it.
Home and I'll be like, I just, I don't know if you noticed, but the floor is hand scrubbed.
Look at it.
And there's no dishes. Mm-hmm. And all the clothes have been put away. And he's like, yeah, thank you so much. Because I like that, like, immediate mm-hmm. validation. Like, yeah. I don't need you to find out 5 minutes later. I need you right now for me to list this uh-huh. out for you.
Affirm me. Tell me I did good.
Yeah. I love it. I love the idea of that study, though, where it's like men are reading it going like, oh, and every woman ever reads it and is like, yeah, no uh-huh. shit. Huh? No shit.
Uh-huh. Like, surprise, surprise. Yep, exactly.
I have a question. I know sure. it's probably not on the list. Sorry. Oh, is the sex therapy that you will be doing or doing, is it always talk therapy or is there other like types?
Oh, that's an awesome question. Yeah, a lot of it is talk therapy, but there's other ways to do it too. Yeah. There's a really cool thing called the 4D wheel by a woman named Gina Ogden, and it's fantastic. It's like people do it in all different ways, but I know a clinician who makes the entire room into this wheel. There's four quadrants: spiritual, emotional, mental, and physical. And you go through and you bring objects that mean something to you. It's pretty complicated. Look it up if you want more information. But you go through all the different quadrants and explore your sexuality in all the quadrants. So it's still talk therapy, but you're also moving. Your body is engaged. You're moving and you're thinking about different realms of your life right. kind of thing.
Is that yeah. like a multiple session kind of situation? Or
I think so, yeah.
I feel like that could take up quite a while.
Right, yeah. exactly. You're like, I got a lot of stuff I can think about.
We got to move on to the different quadrant.
Yeah, yeah. for sure. right? Yeah. No, there's lots of different things, for sure.
Okay.
Yeah. Cool. Good question.
So the second question is, how would you suggest I start dirty talk during sex?
Oh, yeah. Ooh, please tell.
Dirty talk. I love dirty talk. Just on a personal note, I love sure. dirty talk. Who doesn't, right? But it can feel a little bit awkward or weird.
Yeah, like I feel like an idiot.
For sure. And we're not really
like... Do you
like,
want it harder?
Exactly. It's kind of like black and white. We have like a lot of black and white thinking in our culture, right? So there's like porn, like what you kind of referenced just now, like, ooh, do you like it dirty? Like there's this like porn idea and then there's like... None. Like, okay, well, we're virginal and clean and we're
not even saying that you like what's happening.
Right. Like, we're not making any noise. Uh-huh. We're not telling each other what we like.
Still not making eye contact.
So, no eye contact. Absolutely not.
Okay. Can I just say that eye contact when you're like doing things is really weird. Like, I don't want anyone to look down at me. I'm like, avert your eyes.
Don't look at what I'm doing.
And I like look up. I'm like, ah.
Yeah.
What's happening?
I feel like there's something there you should dig into. But
oh, God.
I with your this, therapist.
Damn it, with your I don't want to tell
bring
her.
It up with your mom figure therapist.
Jesus.
I think this goes back to communication. Communication is so huge for sex because, I mean, I personally don't believe you should really be having sex with somebody who you can't talk to about mm-hmm. what you're doing. Mm-hmm. Because how are you going to feel safe? And like there's consent going both ways if you haven't had a conversation about it. So you could, you know, bring it up to your partner like, hey, I kind of want to incorporate some more dirty talk. What are you comfortable with? Here's what I'm comfortable with. And realize that, like, sex is not porn. It's not a staged thing that has, you know, cameras from cool angles and all that. Gets mm-hmm. Like, if you start dirty talking, you might start laughing.
And, like, what makes dirty?
Yes.
Is that word throwing off the whole thing? Because I would say that, like, my husband and I talk all the time. Mm-hmm. Besides maybe using some swear words,
right?
Dirty. I don't know that any of it's dirty per se, but it definitely arouses both of us talking about what we're doing. You know, like, so maybe, I don't know.
I like dirty that. Maybe the word dirty talk isn't the right word for some people. Maybe it's like sex talk or
sure,
like.
Yeah.
I almost feel like, Melissa, it'd be easier for someone like yourself who has been able to act and like being in drama or something like that.
Oh, yeah, I drop a Russian accent.
Oh, my God, are you
crazy?
No, Ben is a lucky man.
Oh, my God, you need to teach me your ways. Like, I can't even imagine like putting on like a cowboy hat and being like, howdy, partner. Like, I would feel like so still. Like, I feel like I'm blushing. Like,
just thinking about it.
So nervous.
We haven't done role play, but I feel like if I did because of all, you know, my room of costumes, literally, or accent accessibility,
yeah,
my husband would be like, what?
When are you going to take that off?
But if you did D&D role play,
sure.
Whoa, shit. Whoa, whoa.
Sure.
I mean, we have dice. Ooh,
right. Oh.
Okay. Okay. But, this is a great idea.
Go home.
Brainstorm.
Write a sexy D&D campaign where like all the dice rolls are like
intercourse.
One blowjob or whatever.
I know.
Okay.
He's for like, his birthday.
How many sides
of that dice say blowjob? Amy.
You're like, listen, it's a 20-sided die. I'm not that creative, so 10 out of the 20
are blowjobs. There's only so many positions.
And, oh, that's amazing.
Yeah. Luck of the draw, you'll get a BJ.
We haven't talked about sex in a long time. Hopefully my brother-in-law hasn't restarted listening because this would be the wrong episode.
Yeah. Not a good episode.
Yeah. Tap out.
Tune out right now.
Zach, right?
Yeah.
Hi, Zach. Welcome back to the podcast.
Come find those dice.
Oh, yes. So good.
Yeah. I was going to say that something I listen to Savage Lovecast a lot. And something that Dan Savage always says is that an easy way to get into dirty talking or just like talking to arouse somebody is to talk about what you're doing and what you're going to do.
And it also is balls.
Yeah. Like
with my hands.
Yeah, but like
I'm a
like,
fucking
I didn't know words.
I'm gonna stretch your scrotum skin.
I'm gonna dangle your
all scientifically
again.
All in your the name scrotum. Of science.
I'm gonna clamp my teeth down.
Clamping down with teeth. Oh, my parents asked if they could listen to this, and I'm gonna tell them no.
Thank God my mom doesn't know what a podcast is, and I think my dad listened to
none
two and was like, no,
no, they're not. No, they're not. That's a good idea, though. Explaining what you're doing.
Yeah, what you're
doing
but like in a sexy way.
Yeah.
What you're going to do. And actually, it's also a way that you can get consent. Because if you're like, hey, I'm going to do this, and the person's like, actually,
I'm going to put my pinky in your butt.
I don't like you to bite my penis with your teeth.
Yeah,
okay, that's a good thing to know. Thanks for telling me.
And also, please don't.
Yes.
Yeah.
Anyway. Oh, that's a great idea. I love that.
So yeah, I always thought that was a pretty good little tip.
Mm, for sure.
That actually leads me to a question I came up with in my head. Do you listen to any like sex podcasts or anything?
I have listened to an awesome one called The Birds and the Bees by Braxton Dutson. He's a sex therapist. He's awesome.
Oh, he's local, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
He's fantastic.
Cool. Will you remind me at the end?
I will.
And I'll write that
for
down.
For sure I will.
Because I won't remember.
I've really seen him posting in like the Salt Lake like community podcast group.
Oh, right. Yeah. I have seen that.
Yeah. He's wonderful. Right. He's awesome.
Cool.
Yep.
We'll have to check that podcast out.
Do it.
So besides saying
dirty talk.
Yeah.
Sex talk.
What would you, was there any other like suggestions with going down that avenue? Just jumping in.
For sure.
It's what we do.
It's what we do. I would say like have a mind of curiosity and openness. So have your expectations just be open and curious instead of like, if you find yourself shutting down at certain words, like stop and examine why those words bother you. Like my husband and I recently started incorporating the word like fuck into our sex life. Mm-hmm. We were both like super conservative Mormon people.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden like that was kind of gone. So we had to reexamine like, what do we want to have in our sex life? We feel like we have more freedom.
Yeah.
So, and at first it was like a little bit weird. I'd be like, ooh, fuck me. And he'd be like, and just going with the flow and not getting hung up on like what your expectations are, being more open to it. And just and it, ultimately it turned out to be like a funny and hilarious good experience, you know?
Yeah.
That's something too, though, to keep in mind. I think that everyone thinks that sex has to be super serious and like sexy and like we're in a porno.
Well,
and
it's in the porn, there's no like outtakes, you know? They're never like, oh. That's too tight.
No, right.
Take
never.
Two.
No, never. Porn is even, not real sex.
Yeah, or even just laughing. Like, there's times during sex where, like,
weird
just dumb, weird shit
happens.
Oh, my God.
Sure.
Like, the
queefing.
Chest on chest fart noise.
Lots of queefing.
Oh, my God.
The fart noise. Whoa. Or the, like, lower back and, like, ass.
Oh, yeah, like it's
the
sweaty.
Clap.
And it's like,
and you're like, oh, my gosh, can you hear this?
Flash.
Oh, absolutely. Oh.
So, it's okay to laugh during sex, too. Like, it's not. You know, it doesn't have to be this like super serious.
No.
Oh, we can't laugh. It's not funny. I have to be super sexy. I can like only pose in certain ways so that my body doesn't look weird.
Absolutely.
Oh, God. Turn
like
the lights
post
off.
Post baby, like don't touch my breasts unless you want to be maybe
milk.
Accidentally squirted with breast milk.
Right.
If you feel like that might be traumatizing for you, I should just put my bra on.
I would be wearing the bra. Oh, for sure. We could do a whole multi-hour thing on just like post.
Yes.
Post baby. Sex.
Okay, this next question is, the longer I'm in a relationship, the more bashful I become. Why is that? Shouldn't I be more comfortable?
Huh. That is a really interesting question. I have a few ideas. Obviously, it's, you know, hard to give a perfect answer to somebody without getting more information, but it makes me wonder what their issue is with intimacy and getting like, or are they bored? Like what's causing it? Are they getting bored? Are they uncomfortable with somebody knowing them really well? There's a whole bunch of stuff there that I would love to dig into. What do you guys think?
Interesting. Yeah. Well, I guess like following off of that, what's the difference between sex and intimacy?
Good question. Yeah. That is a good question. Well, again, like sex can mean so many different things too, right? So some people might define some things as sexual and some things as non-sexual, but what intimacy, just the word intimacy is like closeness, right? Being close right. with somebody. And you can be close, you can be intimate with someone without being sexually intimate. You could be romantically intimate or friendship intimate, parent, child intimate, right? There's all different ways to be intimate.
Mm-hmm. Maybe part of it is like the longer you've been in a relationship, like the social norms out there say like, oh, at 10 years or at 5 years, you should be, you know, X, Y, and Z doing this. And maybe you're not to that point or uncomfortable, or maybe that's not I don't know. Like maybe those are things that are like swirling around in your head, like okay, we should be to this point. Or, you know, depending on like the relationship, maybe there's other things.
I think
they're just leaking into the bedroom.
I think that's really interesting. That reminds me of something someone said to us after we got married. My husband's a firefighter and it was one of his coworkers. And he said, put a dollar in a jar for every time you have sex the first year of marriage. And then take a dollar out every time you have sex the second year of marriage. And you won't take any, you'll still have a jar full of dollars.
Yeah, sure.
Right. So when you said like expectations, and, you know, there's kind of that idea of like when we first start a relationship, like we're having sex all the time and it's super sexy. And there's some like truth to that, like brain wise, you know, the newness and.
Right.
So things can change over time, but it doesn't have to go from like hot. Sweaty sex all the time to like now we don't have sex anymore because we've been together for 10 years, right?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. But it definitely slows down. I mean, like, yeah, it's similar to what you said about you and Alex. Like, Ian and I will sometimes be like, oh, yeah, we haven't had sex for like 3 weeks, but it's because we like neither of us wanted, like, it's not
like life gets busy and then you're like, oh, yeah, no, let's do this.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Yep. For sure.
I have a question. Like, what are your thoughts on like masturbation? In that case, so like, let's say.
Oh, for like one partner who has a higher sex drive than the other? Oh, cool. Good question. I think consent is always something to consider with everything. So if there's like one partner who wants sex all the time and the other one's like, I just don't want to do it all the time.
Right.
And the other partner's like, well, my needs aren't really being met. You know, is it okay if I watch porn and masturbate? I think that would be something that the couple would really examine together. So that nobody was feeling like,
well, abandoned or
exactly, you know, like consenting, like, sure, that's fine with me if you watch porn. Right. Like, maybe I don't want you to watch this kind of porn, or maybe I want to watch porn with you.
Yeah.
But then the person with the lower sex drive can't be like, oh, what? You masturbated? I have like hurt feelings about
like,
that.
Go do it.
Right.
I feel like the only problem in that would be like if someone else is coming in, like porn, specifically an area, like a type of porn that makes your significant other very uncomfortable, you know?
For sure.
But I'd be like, yes, go take care of your needs.
Yeah, no, sometimes
as long as you're not getting.
You take your time. Yeah. I'll be over here.
Yeah.
I'll turn the
TV disease.
Up.
Right.
Yeah. Do what you want.
I love you.
Do what you want to do. Like, again, like communication is huge.
Yeah.
So talking about like maybe why doesn't the one partner want to have sex as much? Is it like a biological thing? Is it a thing where they don't feel that close to their partner? Mm-hmm. People don't just like not want to have sex. There's a reason why they don't. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And maybe the reason can just be like, I don't feel like it. I'm not in the mood, but that's still a reason.
Forever.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Now you bring up a good point about like women being gatekeepers of sex.
Yeah.
Who we can like dispense it. Okay, you get sex. Like I will give you sex because you get sex. It's like, no, women are not the gatekeepers of sex. It's a partnered thing. Well, it can be a single thing too. But in this case, it's a partnered thing. No one's holding it over your head. No one's saying kind of what we were talking about earlier.
Right.
Yeah.
I think, I mean, the culture is part of the problem there too, though, right?
Because
you have
absolutely.
To examine a couple of things. It's like, why can't they talk about their sexual
issues? Absolutely. Absolutely.
Why doesn't the woman want to have more sex? Is she feeling that shame, that kind of shut down? Like, I don't want to do this. I don't enjoy it.
I'm tired,
all of that.
You don't help me with the kids or the housework, so I'm not really that into you right now.
Right.
All right, next question. What if I love bland sex?
Vanilla.
What is vanilla sex?
Girl, if you like vanilla, you just keep going for it.
You do you.
I just like to put some hot chocolate on it. Like,
it's that thing where we all want to know what's normal.
Yep,
and
exactly.
What's like bland. Right. Or, you know, when,
what's everyone like, else doing? Works for you. Am I boring compared to everybody else if I just want like missionary penis vagina stuff?
Yeah.
No.
I mean, if you're coming, then who cares?
For sure.
I think there is a level of like, I don't want to get boring.
Like sure. Doing the same thing over and over.
Yeah, I'm like, okay. Oh, I don't want him to lose interest, so I gotta like throw in some weird
rope.
But
that's still putting you in the position where you're doing something to entice him.
It's I want to like keep it spicy, not because I'm afraid he'll leave, and that's like when mm-hmm. it becomes problematic. Right. If you're like doing something because you're like, they'll leave me if I don't do this thing they want, then like,
then are you really consenting to doing it?
No,
exactly.
Like it's under mm-hmm. duress. Yeah,
yeah. Something important too with sex and just in general, as something I work with a lot of women on, is being in your body rather than objectifying yourself.
Mm.
So that goes along with sex too. So anytime that we are self-objectifying is if we are thinking of how we look from the outside in rather than experiencing our bodies from the inside out. So during sex, if you get in your head and you're like,
totally.
Ooh, if I bend over this way, then I'm going to have rolls or my ass is going to have cellulite. Yeah. Like that's when we're objectifying and then
you're not having an orgasm.
Exactly. That's exactly right. Because you're too worried about how you look mm-hmm. rather than how you're experiencing mm-hmm. it. So like in regards to this question, I would say, how are you experiencing it? Do you like your like bland, as they called it? Do you like bland sex? Do you enjoy it? Like, cool, man. Continue doing what you enjoy. If you want to explore other stuff because you want to, not because you're like looking at it from the outside in of I'm boring, I'm vanilla, the partner wants more, right? Like, if you're enjoying it and it gets you where you want to go, cool.
Yeah, you do you.
Exactly.
And I like that. If your partner comes to you and they're like, hey, I want to try this thing.
I want to be spicy.
It's a little more spicy. We're going to put some sriracha in the single ice cream.
Be careful.
Do not put sriracha in your vagina.
Like, if you, that's why, like, I think it has to be a give and take where you can be like, okay, like, is this something that I could maybe be interested in?
Yeah.
Like, am I willing to maybe try this?
Right.
Cool. Let's like have a discussion about it instead of doing it under duress or just immediately going, ooh, no, like, I don't like that.
Right.
Exactly.
Because also then the immediate, like, slapping away of something may put then your partner at like very unsure about bringing new stuff up as well.
Exactly.
And you want to keep that communication
for sure.
open.
Like, there's a phrase in sex therapy called don't yuck someone else's yum.
Oh, yeah.
I've heard that.
So, yeah.
That's a great sentence.
Don't yuck someone else's yum.
I
That's
know.
Not what we want.
Yeah.
That's not what we want.
Had a friend like come down just a few months into being like with their significant other and in like a negligee and you know she was like hello and he was like no, not tonight and she did not like initiate sex for about 5 years after that.
Shocking, right?
Well, it probably took a
like,
long
why
time
would you
like getting in the sexy thing and like being like sometimes I like, put a robe on over it and I'm like look at it and then like open it really quick and then shut it. You know, like it's a lot of courage.
Yeah, it's because you're being vulnerable with even if it's with your partner that you've been with for a long time.
Right,
making yourself vulnerable like that can be really painful if you're rejected immediately.
Yeah. Like that scared me so much that I made like Ben and I were like, okay, if either of us initiate, let's just go with it and maybe it'll take a little bit longer to like get there because we gotta like do more foreplay to like, okay, now we're there, you know?
For sure.
But just like that would just, like that would be so
harsh. It'd be hard, for sure.
I heard somewhere that men get aroused and then they want to have sex, but women get aroused in the process of like beginning to have sex.
Yeah.
Not to say like don't force sex on women,
right.
but
sure.
I mean like women might be like, well, I'm not really in the mood. But then once you start like kind of getting into it, then they're like, okay, now I'm in the mood.
For sure. This brings up the idea of desire and arousal. Not the same thing. Mm. Arousal is like a physiological response, like where you're like, ooh, I'm starting to get wet. Like my nipples are getting hard. I'm into it.
Yeah.
And you can be aroused without having desire, right? Mm. Like some rape victims report having orgasms. That does not mean that they had desire to be raped. It's just a physiological response, right?
Right.
Kind of like men who are raped, they had an erection, like they didn't desire to be raped, but it's a physiological response. Desire is more of the mental of like, I want to have sex with you. The same thing can go with that. You can have desire and not have the arousal.
That's huge.
It is huge.
Because I was physically assaulted and I got wet. And for years afterwards, I was confused as hell as to like, if it was even assault because my body like
responded
because it's going to because science.
Exactly. Yeah. Because your biology.
Because science. Yeah.
Exactly. So. Yep. So important distinction. And so if you aren't in the mood, but you kind of think like, oh, I have the desire, like I would like to have sex. I don't feel like it right now. Maybe I'll make out with you for a little bit and see if that like arousal comes. And if arousal comes, like, cool, then you're in the mood for it. Right.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So next question here is, should I feel guilty for not giving sex to my husband because men love sex? This is kind of actually what we're just talking about. No.
No. Oh, it's so hard with the guilt and shame, right? Heart just like kills your arousal and your desire, right? If you feel guilty or shameful about it, you're not going to be in the mood to do it.
Totally. Yeah, or to like experiment or to have fun.
Yeah.
It's not just, you know, it's a cool tool to bring you closer together.
Right. Yeah, there's a whole lot with this question to unpack. First of all, too, men aren't always the ones that have the high desire. Like, a lot of times men can have high desire, higher than women, but also men can have low desire. And then a lot of women can feel really confused. Like, I heard that men always want sex. Totally. How come my husband doesn't always want sex? Is it me? Is there something wrong with him? Is he not into me? Is he cheating on me? Like, that can go a whole road. But men don't always have, like, a crazy high drive. So if we put that on them all the time, they can feel kind of like, I'm not a man if I'm not constantly like wanting sex, right? So
that's like have a boner every time I look at you.
Exactly. Like, I'm
where's
naked.
Your boner?
I'm naked. Why don't you have a boner? You must not like me, right? Yeah, like, no, that's not how it works all the time for everybody.
I can be such a sensitive peach sometimes. I'm like, if we're like naked and it's like not ready to go, I'm like,
like, what did I do?
I need to touch
me.
With my hands? Like, okay, fine. And then it's like not 1 second of touching.
Right.
Like, what's wrong with me?
Yep, exactly.
Cover up.
Uh-huh.
They'll turn the lights off. Oh, God.
Yep. Another piece of that is that word should. Should is a thinking error. Thinking errors are ways of thinking that are not based in logic. So the word should is super shamey. Basically, what you're saying when you say the word should is, okay, it's something I ought to be doing, but I'm not. And so that makes me, not giving my husband what he needs. Yeah, so the word should there is problematic too. And I would encourage the person who used that to look at, like, why do they think they have to do that or should, and what guilt and shame do they have? Obviously, they feel bad because they don't think their husband's getting enough sex, right?
Right.
Look at it. Why aren't you guys having more sex? Why do you feel like he needs more sex? Is he pressuring you? Are you pressuring yourself? Again, communicate with your partner.
Yeah.
You know, huge.
And if he is pressuring you, that's a huge, another huge problem.
Yeah,
you need to examine.
Exactly.
Even if it's not like him pressuring you, like maybe it's like your self own, put upon.
Mm-hmm. Or if it's that societal pressure, like from that book from the 60s, you should have sex with your man every day.
Exactly. Like, anytime he wants
but
it.
If masturbation is like an option, I feel like I'm like, mm-mm. Or sometimes he's like, mm-mm. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to take a shower.
Yeah.
What is the lady version of blue balls called?
Is there?
That is a fantastic
question. That is a good question.
Pink balls?
Pink balls.
Just change the color. Not the anatomy.
Dude, I don't know. I would have to Google that. I have no idea.
Let's look it up.
There's also a lot of like.
There's nothing that hurts, right?
There's also a lot of bullshit around what blue balls even is.
Right.
Because blue balls is like pretty rare. And guys who pull that shit, like, if you don't do that, I'm going to have blue balls. Like, I'm calling you on that one. That's not a thing.
Right. Like, blue balls is actually like a medical situation.
Yeah.
But men use it when they're just talking about like, oh, I really wanted to have sex, but then I didn't get any sex.
Well, that's true. Because I get boners all the time and don't ejaculate.
Blue beam.
Blue beam.
Blue beam. How often does it happen?
Okay. The first three articles that I'm saying says, yes, it definitely can happen. The Urban Dictionary says the swelling of the female clitoris due to sexual stimulus without the release of orgasm. Girls, we get these more often than a boy ever would.
Stomach pain.
First of all.
They're called cramps. Just kidding.
But the three signs
are irritableness, vibrating in the bathroom.
The number one sign is an achy clit.
Okay. An achy clit. That sounds painful.
The swell within the pleasure during arousal. the kind of the mild pain or discomfort as you become excited, but you don't have an orgasm. Two is a sore uterus, which is an intense feeling.
That's just like my period.
Super connected with your body to really feel that one.
To know what your uterus is doing.
So sore.
Because your uterine walls become engorged when you're aroused. It's like the deep internal ache of like a menstrual cramp, which I guess we are familiar with.
Uh-huh. We are indeed familiar.
And then the third one is an uncomfortable feeling of fullness. So everything is engorged and swollen.
That's me every day after I eat.
That's fascinating.
That is fascinating. Huh. Oh, it says Bluebeam. There's some options to get rid of them. First, try an orgasm. Well, that's what we were trying for begin with.
You're like,
no,
all right.
No shit.
Okay.
That's what I'm here for.
How funny. You deserve a happy, healthy sex life. Be Amen. Vocal about your needs and don't give up. You got this. Love it.
You do. You do got this, ladies.
Yes.
Blue Bean, though. I love all right. that.
Blue
I
Bean.
That's
the
best. Okay. Cool. Coined it.
Awesome.
Well, technically, Urban Dictionary coined it. But, yeah.
Blue Bean.
Learned it.
You can start calling Blue Bean now.
Googled it. Anyway. All right. Do enhanced her pleasure condoms actually do anything?
Okay, I can answer that. No.
Are we talking like ribbed and like the ones that are like burning and cooling?
Yeah. I'm guessing just anything that's like
that
ribbed
double
for her
KY
pleasure.
Yeah. situation, yeah. his and hers.
Let me say something about KY. Friends don't let friends use KY. Stop. KY is bad for you.
KY. Literally, I'm nervous, but like the best lube I've
you
ever
like
had.
It.
Yeah, okay. I love it.
There's just chemicals in it that are not good for the pH of your vagina. I'm sorry to
that
say.
That might explain a few things
yeah.
in my vagina.
Yeah, it probably works really well.
Like, it works amazing. Like, yeah. I barely even have to wipe it off. It's just like part of me now.
It's not healthy for your
well, shit.
pH. I know, I'm sorry. A good brand is called Good Clean Love.
Ooh.
It's a good brand that's safe to use for your vag and your vulva.
Is there like
a water-based one?
Yeah.
Like the Aqua something.
Oh,
It's aqua, purple.
Yeah, it's
that's
the purple.
That's the one we have.
Yeah, that one is also not great for
really?
I know, because it's like supposed to be the best one. That's what we've used for a long time until I found out, it's not even good for you.
I mean, truth be told,
what is it that's not
we've
good?
We've only
is
had
like...
to use it once. We don't
use
lube at all.
Don't have
but,
to. You don't need it.
I bought it because it was the water-based. Yeah.
So what are the ingredients that women should look out for?
Yeah.
Oh, this is also, I couldn't tell you off the top of my head. That's a good question.
Google it.
Everything that I have read says that a lot of it is not good for your vagina. Like the cooling and warming stuff, not good for the pH level in your vagina. Like you're not even supposed to wash with like soap.
Yeah.
So putting chemicals that make you hot and cold up there, probably...
It does seem logical,
right?
Now that you bring it up,
I just recently got like a vagina wash, and I was like, "Damn, I have like 9 different washes: like a shampoo, a conditioner, a hair mask, a like lady wash, the like body scrub, like the bar of soap." And I was like,
"The vagina wash is that like a?
It's like the Summer's Eve. No, it's like a for your vagina wash.
Okay, make sure. I would just look at the ingredients." I wouldn't want to put fragrance.
It does smell like coconuts.
Yeah. A lot of women have good success just using water. Just plain old water.
I need some sort of wash.
Because you want it to smell better?
No, I just feel like soap.
Sure.
I mean, I'm not in there.
Yeah.
Like washing around. Like,
ouch.
Yeah. Like it's just outside. Yeah. Just
obviously, like, it's individual. It's individual, but if you're...
A lather.
If you're getting like yeast infections or bacterial infections a lot, like examine what you're putting.
Yeah.
Or what kind of underwear you're wearing.
Damn you, Summer's Eve.
I know. Because we're sold this idea as a woman that like our vulva and our vagina don't smell good. Like you smell fishy. You smell like clams. You smell right. We all know these.
You need to smell like lavender, like the rest of your body.
And it's like, no, sorry, like that's not how it's supposed to smell.
I think that women too are marketed a lot of products that are just bullshit.
Because, absolutely.
Like it cleans itself.
It's a self cleaning. It's amazing.
Right.
Yeah. It's awesome. You don't
it'll
have
literally
to put
do
anything,
everything if you leave it alone.
Exactly. It'll be happier if you just leave it alone. So,
last question: how do I get back to feeling sexy with my partner after something like giving birth or having surgery?
Oh my goodness, such a good question that probably most of us have asked at some point,
right?
Even like after being sick or gaining weight or losing weight,
right?
Or, right, like,
yeah,
or being together a long time. Or...
they've seen all the like gross, weird, ugly parts of you.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Pee mm-hmm. with the door open and yep. then it's all downhill. No.
My husband had lost 150 pounds right before we met. And wow. so he, and the only reason we met is because he had this like new wave of self-esteem mm-hmm. and like was ready to like yeah. actually meet someone because he for the first time felt good about himself. And so when we first got married, there was, you know, that. But when he started gaining weight, then there was a huge like wave of insecurity sure. and like definitely was sure that I didn't find him sexy. And damn, I did. Like it never even occurred to me that that was like on his mind because of everything that we were going through and like trying to have kids and like life. Everything, yeah. right? Mm-hmm. I just never even crossed my mind that he would feel that way about his own body because I still think he's so sexy, mm-hmm. you know? But even the guys think that, right? Going through their head. But it had for to sure. like, it took some conversations and like sex, like for him to understand that nothing that I was doing or that he was doing was affecting the physical relationship.
Right, that part of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bodies change all the time. They're going to keep changing.
Oh, absolutely.
Like when you get older, we were talking about things get saggy, yep. stuff gets weird.
Yeah. And
like
your bones keep popping.
For sure.
Every sex clackety move.
Bones.
Yeah.
Click, clack, or
like
right?
pre,
clack.
Like when, before I was in that relationship, like I was always sure that like it was my fat that was stopping me from being in a relationship mm-hmm. or like having someone be sexually attracted to mm-hmm. me, which is not true, you know? And like I have felt like sexually desired by men and acted upon even before, you know, mm-hmm. my body was attractive to some people, just like everyone has their own.
Yeah,
like,
for sure.
Niches,
yeah.
right?
But, yeah, absolutely.
But if someone is experiencing that where they're like, oh, I had a baby, my body's different, I'm not feeling super sexy.
Yeah.
Or I'm having low self-esteem. Like, what are some good tips to sort of just get out of that like funk?
Okay. Yeah. I would say it's definitely going to be a process. I did a group with postpartum moms about 6 months ago talking about like intimacy and sex after childbirth, and everybody brought that up. Like, oh, I don't feel sexy anymore. My boobs don't look the same. My stomach doesn't look the same. I don't feel the same. Things changed, and so there's no going back to what was before. There's moving forward with the new, right? Mm-hmm. Also, like, my baby cries while we're having sex, and then my sex drive goes from like 10 to 0 just like that, right? And my husband can somehow block it out, but I can't do that, right? So it's going to be a process for sure. It's not going to be something that you can just easily, okay, I just have to do one quick thing and then I'm back to how I was. No, you're a different person yeah. now. You know, you're moving forward with the new, making new normal. Mm-hmm. So I would say be patient with yourself. Have lots of conversations with your partner about like, I'm feeling gross. I'm feeling weird. Do you find me attractive? I don't find myself attractive. There's something called erotic empathy. And that's where you don't find yourself attractive at all, but your partner does. And so you can kind of lean on their view of you while you're going through this transition of like, oh, I don't
that's
know
fantastic.
Who I am. Right?
Yeah.
So like,
yeah.
Letting somebody else love you, first of all, letting somebody else be into you, even when you're like, how could you be into this? Mm-hmm. This is disgusting. I feel gross. How could you even possibly, like, first of all, if somebody is looking you in the eyes and saying, like, I think you're sexy, I'm into you, I like what you have going on, like, try leaning on their views of you for a while until you start believing it yourself or until you start being the new you and being okay with that.
That's amazing.
Yeah, that's what I would say.
Love that advice. Well, those are all the questions.
I have one more.
Oh, okay. Cheryl has one.
Bring it. Bring it out.
Is sex therapy covered by insurance?
Oh, that's such a good question.
Maybe how you frame it to your doctor?
I don't actually know right off the top of my head.
I would say like if therapy in general is covered,
yeah.
like wouldn't it be
yeah,
covered?
Yeah, that has to be right because of. Like so some people's insurance doesn't cover any
right,
therapy, right?
Right. Yeah,
but
yeah.
if your insurance covers therapy, this is kind of like with art therapy. I remember this now. Yeah, you would bill it under, like, your credentials that are covered.
Right.
By, as far as I know, though, the ASEC certification isn't, like, a nationwide. Like, up until a couple years ago, like, I don't even remember how many years ago. It wasn't that long ago. There was no certification in Utah to do sex therapy. So anyone could just be like, sex therapy, like, that's me. And they don't actually have formal training.
Well, that sounds horrifying.
Right? So then somebody named Kristen Hodson came up and was like, yeah, that's not cool. We need to have
a training
for
especially
that, right?
With so many like
sexual
the bad word of normalization, but like the normalization of transgender and youth going through gender changes or just understanding their own bodies.
Right.
And adults who now need to like process what they might have been going through many years ago.
Right.
Yeah. And that, I mean, it's a requirement before any like permanent surgeries and stuff. So having somebody that knows what they're talking about.
Right.
Absolutely.
Very important. Yeah.
That's cool.
There's also a clinic called the Healing Group. And they have like an intern clinic that does sliding scale and reduced rates too.
Nice.
So that you can have cheaper therapy. But yeah, I believe you would just bill it under your certification that's recognized by the insurance.
That's cool. Yeah. How many like sex therapists or offices do you know of like in Salt Lake? Is it pretty common now?
It's getting more common. There's not very many people though. It's still not. I don't have an exact number, but it's still not. I don't know if there's even more than like 30.
Oh, okay.
I could be wrong again. I could
so their schedules are full.
Maybe. There's also not a lot of people who go looking. Like, not everybody. You said you go to a therapist. You haven't ever brought
that's
up your sexual, right?
I know. So I almost feel like I should go to a separate sex therapist.
Yeah.
To keep my mom therapist and my sex therapist separate.
So she doesn't really
you
know
could, what's if that's what you can be comfortable doing, that's totally fine, right?
Is it mostly women or men or like
who are providing it? Or who
yeah,
go
sure,
for
both,
sex therapy?
Both.
No, men and women both can be sex therapists and provide it and can both do a great job. And some people are more comfortable talking to a woman and some people are more comfortable talking to a man.
What about patients? Is it more women, do you think?
Well, in general, more women seek out therapy because it's like more societally accepted.
Right.
But men definitely can seek sex therapy and should seek sex therapy.
Yes, please.
Well, like we've said before, everyone should be in therapy.
Everyone.
Yes.
And everyone should be talking about sex.
Yes.
I mean, going to a sex therapist. Know that that's completely normal. Feel supported. And if we're the only ones supporting you, then you got it. Like, you have us behind you. So.
Yes.
Thank you so much for being here today, Clint.
Thanks for having me. It was such a blast.
I'm not even kidding. I'm
going to
bring you back all the time.
I would love to come back. Thank you guys for having me.
If you have more questions, you know, along this line, you want to send us, you know where to find us on Facebook. We have an anonymous form, but you can call, text, send it through our Instagram DMs, whatever you want.
Yep. We are at TWPcast on Twitter. We're the Womansplaining Podcast on Instagram and Facebook. Yeah, send us your questions.
Oh, go have some pumpkin spice latte and get out of here.
Yeah. Go have yourself a PSL and some sex.
Oh, that sounds like a lovely afternoon.
Bye.
Bye.